Hi, a very good morning.
Binu, I think you're on mute.
Hi, a very good morning to all of you. This is Dr. Binu Pathiparambil from Elara Securities, welcoming all of you to the Shall Be Limited Q4 and full year FY2023 earnings call hosted by Elara Securities. Today we have with us senior management representatives from Shall Be. We will start with opening remarks from Mr. Sushovan Dasgupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, and Mr. Parag Agrawal, Chief Business Officer, followed by a discussion on financial performance by Mr. Amit Pathak, Chief Financial Officer. After that, we will open the floor for Q&A for all the participants. Should you need any assistance, please message on chat box. I will now hand over to Mr. Puneet Maheshwari for important disclaimers regarding any forward-looking statements that may be made during the call. Over to you, Puneet.
Thanks, Binu. Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. Our earnings presentation is uploaded on the Stock Exchange website and our company website, shallbe.org. We do hope you have already had the opportunity to go through the presentation. Please note that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 39 of the investor presentation for a detailed disclaimer. And now I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Sushovan Dasgupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Puneet, and good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to all our Shall Be Limited's fourth quarter and full year 2023 earnings call. All of us at Shall Be sincerely hope that you, your families, and your friends stay happy and healthy as always. Before I start on our quarterly and annual achievements, let me take a moment to introduce Mr. Amit Pathak, who has joined our Shall Be as Chief Financial Officer. Amit is a chartered accountant and company secretary with 20 years of rich experience with companies of repute in accounts and finance management, financial planning and budgeting, treasury management, investor relations, due diligence, and cost optimization initiatives, having strategic experience across industries and functions. Prior to joining our organization, Amit was heading the finance and accounts function at Bharat Serums and Vaccines Limited as Vice President Finance. And previous to that, Amit worked as a CFO of Vimta Labs Limited and various senior positions with Gati Limited and Villa Group. So please join me in welcoming Amit to our Shall Be family. Now to our quarterly achievements. Our hospital business continued to show consistent performance in all key operational and financial parameters in the last quarter. On a year-on-year basis, delivering high double-digit growth in the key metrics of inpatient counts, which include day care and surgery counts, growing by 24% and 18% respectively. Our hospital revenue and EBITDA grew by 21% and 13% respectively in quarter four of the full year 2023 year-on-year basis. Such excellent performances are a result of the continuous all-round efforts taken by our Shall Be Group through various business development initiatives. From a strategic perspective, we undertook various initiatives to improve occupancy levels and brand recognition by leveraging several of the digital media and marketing campaigns, including advertising kiosks at the airport, besides placing digital LED hoardings. We conducted more than 935 healthcare camps and 388 healthcare talks across all units, thereby improving our occupied beds to 579 beds in this quarter from 499 beds in the same quarter of last year. These initiatives will continue to benefit ramping up our occupancy levels in the coming quarters too. At Shalby, we remain focused in demonstrating clinical excellence by performing critical surgeries across many of our units. Some of them I can cite here are the successful first case of TAVI. TAVI means transcatheter aortic valve implantation performed in Shalby, Jaipur, a challenging marginal kidney transplant done successfully at Shalby Indore for a 19-year-old girl could be the other example that I could cite here. Though small in numbers, we are proud to inform that we have performed more than 220 kidney and liver transplant at our SG and Indore unit. In continuation, we have also applied for hand and heart transplant licenses at SG unit and kidney transplant licenses at our Naroda unit. I'm very excited about our growing home care business, which grew by 38% year-on-year with revenues of ₹9.8 crores and patient count of 27,000, which is a growth of 34% in full year 23 from 2022. Additionally, our international revenue grew by more than 100% year-on-year with revenues of 10.4 crores in the full year 2023. Shalby also takes immense pride in nurturing young talent through Shalby Academy with more than 2,000 students registered in the various healthcare programs during the full year of 23. We feel proud providing various job offers to these students across all our hospitals. We, being a healthcare service provider, understand our responsibility towards our nation and its citizens to make them more and more aware about their health. And in this regard, we have created more than 250 videos on various health conditions as a part of healthcare education and awareness program, and also created 28 long and short healthcare video contents in partnership with Google through its arm YouTube. Our knee and hip implant manufacturing business under Shalby Advanced Technologies Inc. in California, USA, has made steady progress during the full year 23, wherein revenue grew 3x or three times multiple to ₹94 crores, of which sales in the US and India contributed 60% and 40% respectively. Our US customer sales mix from retail and wholesale remained at 58% and 42% respectively in quarter four, which helped in better profitability mix. EBITDA became positive in full year 23 after significant cost reduction activities in raw material and freight costs, and this within a span of 22 months from our takeover of this business. With all the efforts to improve implant production, we are now able to produce on an average 4,000 to 4,500 components per month in the full year of 23 versus the 2,000 plus components per month that we produced during full year 2022. We successfully navigated through our ISO 13485 audit for Shalby Advanced Technologies in January 2023 and have received the certification, a proud testament to the high standards of quality we hold ourselves accountable to in our implant business. We are receiving very positive responses from the consumption of our Shalby Consensus implants from our in-house surgeons as well as from outside surgeons. We are also very delighted to inform that we have received the license approval to sell our implants in Indonesia. We will soon be receiving registration approvals to launch our Shalby implant product in Latin American countries like Argentina and Colombia in the coming quarters. Further, we remain focused on building a strong team with the right attitude, maintaining healthy customer sales mix, continuously increasing operational capacity and thereby efficiencies, adding new products in the pipeline, supported with extensive research and development activities, and substantially bringing down our procurement costs. With all key strategies in place, our team is extremely committed on flawless execution of such strategies with the right people and leadership in place. All this in turn will help create sustainable value for all stakeholders at Shalby Limited. Now, I will hand it over to Mr. Parag Agarwal, our Chief Business Officer at Shalby Limited, to discuss our SOCE quarterly performance. Over to Parag.
Thank you so much, Sushobhan, for sharing quarterly developments on hospital and implant business. A very warm good morning, everyone. Let me discuss the full year FY23 performance for SOC vertical. During full year FY23, we have added two new SOC franchisee units at Lucknow and Gwalior under Shelby operated and Shelby managed business model. These franchise units are fully operationalized now. With this, now we have four SOC units at Ahmedabad, Udaipur, Lucknow, and Gwalior with a total bed capacity of more than 130 plus under the SOC vertical. These SOC units have performed more than 425 joint placement surgeries in the full year FY23. We have an MOU signed at Rajkot location under Shelby operated model, which is expected to commence its operations this financial year. As you know, our asset-light franchise model continues to witness encouraging responses and is envisaging a lot of interest across various stakeholders. While we are getting a lot of inquiries, we have a standard protocol and strict guidelines in place to select the right partner so as not to dilute our strong brand in any way. We are in continuous process of taking over all our operations in our brand name with whom we have signed MOUs so far. And we are optimistic to see the good developments in coming quarters of this financial year. Moreover, our focus remains on capitalizing our expertise and excellence in orthopedics to have over 50 Shelby franchise hospitals across India. Now I'd like to hand over to Mr. Amit Pathak, CFO of Shelby Limited, to discuss Shelby's quarterly performance in more detail. Over to you, Amit. Thank you so much, everyone.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank Board of Directors, Shelby Management, investors, all the shareholders and other stakeholders of the company to giving me the opportunity to work with Shelby Limited. Now, in terms of first, I will walk you through the financial performance of the company for the fourth quarter and full year FY2023. First, I will running you through the consolidated performance of the group. In Q4 FY23, the total revenue grew by 25% to ₹208 crores. EBITDA grew by 23% to ₹35 crores. And PAT grew by 37% to ₹14 crores from Q4 FY2022. EBITDA margin remained stable at 17% in Q4 FY23 versus Q4 FY22. For financial year 2023, we have recorded revenue of ₹8,827 crores, grew by 16%, EBITDA at ₹159 crores, grew by 20%, and PAT of ₹68 crores, grew by 25% from full year's FY22. The group continued to maintain a very strong balance sheet with low gearing ratio of 0.15 and close the year at a net cash balance of ₹71 crores at group level. Now, I will be running you through standalone performance of the hospital business. On the operational side, the total surgery count grew by 35% to 27,352, with inpatient and outpatient improved by 17% and 42% in full year FY23 from FY22. ARPOB and ALOS also shown an excellent improvement at ₹34,854 and 3.92 respectively in full year FY23 versus ₹31,347 and 4.55 in the previous year FY22. The payer mix has shifted slightly in favor of the insurance, which is being compensated by reduction in government business. On financial performance side on quarter-on-quarter basis, the revenue for Shelby grew by 21% in Q4 FY23 to ₹183 crores. EBITDA grew by 13% to ₹36 crores. And PAT grew by 17% to ₹18 crores as compared to same quarter in last year. For the financial year 23, hospital revenue grew by 10% to ₹728 crores. EBITDA grew by 13% to ₹161 crores and EBITDA margin improved to 22.2% as compared to 21.6% in FY22. PAT margin for the financial year 23 stood at 11%. At standalone level, Again, a very strong balance sheet with low gearing ratio of 0.03 and closed at year with a net cash balance of 170 crores. We continue to maintain the ROC at 16% from our hospital business. With significant ramping up of the operations, new talent addition and product launch, our US implant business had grown more than threefold to $11.7 million versus $4.3 million with EBITDA positive in FY23. Thank you. Now I would like to request all of you to please raise hand for any questions. The floor is open for the question now.
We'll take the first question from Sudhir. Sudhir, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. And congrats to the elite team of Shelby for posting a good result, sir. I have two questions. Am I audible?
Yes. Hello? Yes, you're audible.
See, I have two questions. First, now the operation at the US has ramped up. And now we are reaching almost 200 crore level yearly, or maybe 25 crore per quarter revenue, but still we are not breaking even at PAT level. So what is your target when we should be breaking even at PAT level? That is the number one question. And number two, what are the growth drivers going forward for next 2 years? Whether we would be banking on franchisee or we would be doing a capital investment to set up a new hospital in the next 2-3 years. So just wanted to understand your next 3 years plan with respect to growth. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is Sushovan. I would answer your question, especially on the first part, because I have a lot of involvement in the business for the implant. Now, if you look at the implant business, when you see there's a lot of capital, working capital infusion happens in an implant business at the start, because you need to get a lot of raw materials in. And when we took over this company, as you may aware, there was a lot of situations that we had to turn it around, including people, including customer satisfaction, including lost customers, and so on. So with that putting in mind, we actually had targeted that we would be getting into EBITDA neutral or slightly positive this year. And we have been able to achieve that at 94 crores of growth. Having said this, when you look at your question was the year, next year, we plan to increase our EBITDA to a pretty healthy margin. And our aim is to look at this company to be in getting $100 million business in 5 years' time. So when we are getting into $100 million business in 5 years' time, we are looking at a EBITDA of 20% plus in that 5 year time frame. So that would be our objective. In order to do that, a lot of things are happening. We have built in our strategic plan. We are developing a very solid team of leadership and the first line managers. The business that we have envisaged, will 60% of the business will come from the US, 40% of the business will come outside of the US. But as you know, the US average selling price is much higher than the rest of the world. So the volumes will be vice versa. Almost 65% of volumes will be consumed outside of the US and 40% will be coming out of this. So coming to your second question, which is where we are looking at our growth engines, definitely the hospital business would continue to be in the double-digit growth mindset where I think I would get the other members of my panel to be talking a bit more on that. But I can tell you, we are really looking at hospital to be our driving force as always, continuing to be a double-digit growth. We are expanding our hospital in terms of getting our occupancy level better every passing day. We are focusing a lot on surgeries that will be bringing in more better revenue mix and profitable mix. We are looking at expanding into other areas, like as I think you heard from us earlier, we are looking at and in towns and cities where we are not present in from a Shalby group perspective. That will continue to be our growth driver. The second growth driver, which Parag will talk about even more, is our SOCE business, which is our franchisee business, which we plan to be getting into 50 plus over the coming years. And Parag will talk more about it. The third area, and this is not in order, but the third area would be the implant business or the medical device business or the implant business that we are looking at. That would be our another key growth engine. And the other area that we feel very good about it is our home care business, which is within the hospital business, that is growing very, very fast. And we believe the home care business, along with the international business, would be our growth driver. So if you ask me, we have the three big verticals of the hospital business, the SSP, and the implant business. And within the hospital business, we also have the home care and the international business, which would be a growth drivers going forward. Maybe I'll leave the other members of the panel to add anything that I've missed out.
So I'll add in, while the SOC remains one of the growth drivers for the organization as we move forward, the asset light model is something which we will look forward to in expanding on the hospital side as well. A good opportunity comes in. Yeah, yes, we will be looking forward to those. Plus, we also have our hospital business, our businesses in Mumbai and Nasik, which we'll be looking forward to operationalizing in the next couple of years so that we are able to add to the business. In the existing hospital business, we have good headroom to grow. As Sushoban talked about, double-digit growth is something which we'll look forward to with the aid coming in from the transplants, from home care and international business.
Sir, one more question, if you allow me. With the kind of guidance you have given at $110 or $100 million for the implant business, so how much Shalby would be further compelled to invest in the US business going forward? Because already I believe that 100 crore is invested in this year. The cash flow shows that. So how much capital it will need more from the Shalby?
So if you look at the capital investments, there are two areas that the capital invest happens. One is definitely the running day-to-day business. We expect this business to be operationally self-sufficient within this fiscal year. So what would then happen, that is something that we always believe that we'll be doing it. But the second thing what happens is the CapEx investments. So if you look at the orthopedic business, there's a lot of capital is required, especially at the CapEx level, to buy instrumentation. We do not manufacture instrumentation in a large scale. So every knee or a hip implant requires almost close to 250 instruments that are needed to put in one single hip or one single knee. And that comes in 5 or 6 or 8 trays. And without those instruments, you cannot operate. And that is a very investment, though we depreciated over 10 years, but that investment needs to happen. So the way we are looking at, and I'll just give you an example and you can do the math, is a instrument gets around a turnaround of around 50 to 75, depending upon the country, every instrument. Now, if I'm looking at a $100 million business, $100 million business is close to what we would anticipate would be over 100,000 plus implants that we will be selling in the coming years. If I have to sell 100,000 implants, and if you look at the number of instruments required, this would be a continuous investment from a CapEx standpoint, because instruments cannot be for life, right? Because it's a metal and it gets worn out over time. So that CapEx investment will be the main investment going forward. But the working capital, as I said, we are trying and doing all our efforts to ensure that we become self-sufficient from an operational standpoint in the US business. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, great. And thanks for the opportunity for asking the question, and all the best, sir.
Thank you. We need your blessings. Thank you.
We'll take the next question from Divya. Divya, please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for the great numbers. And my first question is, EBITDA for implant segment is 11 million as per your presentation, whereas PBT is negative 11,166 million for FY23. What are the deductions and amounts we are deducting?
I think I will refer this to the my finance person. He would be able to give you a rundown on areas. Maybe Amit, would you be able to handle this?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So post EBITDA, we have the two part on the implant business. One is the depreciation that is close to around 1.2 million. And another is the interest cost that is around 1 million. And the rest is the deferred tax that is close to around 500,000.
Okay. And my next question is, what is the implant production in quarter four?
The implant production in quarter four was around 10,000 something. So if you look at it, we calculate on the basis of implants and instruments. We predominantly manufacture our implants in our factory, but sometimes what happens is there are certain instruments that are customized and require, or something that our vendors are not been able to manufacture and we cannot stop surgeries. So we do all instrument manufacturing as well. So it will be around, I would think, 10,000 plus implants that were manufactured in quarter four. So overall, if you see our total implant that were manufactured were over 45,000. Implants in the full year, which was, I would say, double the production that we had in the previous year, fiscal year.
Okay, that's great. I have just one more question.
Sure.
In Mars Medical Device Limited, does the company have external debt?
Amit, can you answer the question?
Yes.
Right.
The company has two. They have one term loan and a working capital loan. These are the two external borrowings which SAT has at this point.
So if we are talking for the SAT in terms of term loan, the outstanding amount is close to around 6 million, and in terms of working capital is 6 million, and term loan is close to around 8 million.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Divya. We'll take the next question from Abhay. I request participants to please introduce yourself along with your company name before asking the question.
Yeah, hi, this is Abhay. I'm an individual investor. Many congratulations on an excellent set of numbers. So I had a couple of questions. First, on the implants business, so how are we priced in terms of implants as compared to our competitors, like Zimmer Biomet or all the other competitors?
Yeah, so when you look at from a pricing standpoint, we are present today in two countries. One is in the US, the other one is in India. We also have business in Japan as well, but it's a much smaller business. But when you look at in US, our prices are slightly lower than the four multinational companies. As you know, in the US, the four multinational companies, which is Zimmer Biomet, which is the number one, then is Stryker, the third is Johnson & Johnson, and the fourth is Smith & Nephew. They control over 90% of shares, which is very unique versus any other industry. So if you look at their prices are always a notch above the others. And the rest of the market, which is us along with many other competitors, our prices are slightly below. Then it's not about the quality, it's more about the branding that has been built over several years that they have put in along with a lot of capital that makes their price much more, or rather slightly attractive than ours. When you look at India, prices are same. across everybody because, of, as you know, is a regulated market, especially on the knee side. So it's a regulated market, and so the prices are exactly the same than anything else.
Okay. And so I just wanted to understand, so the implants business from the past three or four quarters has been at 20, in the range of 20 to 23, 24 crore quarterly. So so is it that we are not able to, you know, or we are waiting for approvals to increase our revenues there, or why aren't we growing there?
No, actually, what has happened is we have launched a product called Tux, which is a unique compartmental knee. Right now, when you look at the implant business, all the products that we've had were all quite a legacy product. They have been there in the marketplace for a long time. So over the last few quarters, we have been trying to ensure that we are well ready enough to be able to satisfy our customers and provide the customer delight that is needed. The worst part in orthopedics implant business, what happens is if you are have been able to win a customer and not been able to provide 100% of the inventory and the instrumentation that they require. And this is not a suture business or even a cardiac stent business. For an implant business, for just a knee or a hip to use, and it is something that is interesting for everybody to hear this if you're not acquainted with the implant business. For a knee or a hip that a patient uses or a doctor uses in on a patient in a hospital, there are at least four sizes that are there which are kept in the OT, four to five sizes. Some surgeons even prefer six sizes, in spite of the x-ray being done, to be ensuring that they, when they open up the knee or the hip, they are very sure after they do a measure and open up and measure which size will be required. So the amount of inventory that is needed is very, very huge. And that, I guess, would be able to answer the question that you were asking. So it's a lot of, I would say, investment that is needed, a lot of, I would say, inventory that is needed. And so we are ensuring that we are completely ready to be able to go in. The other point, which is important to note, is that there is a big, large hospital or large account that we had in one of the states in the US, which we lost for the time being because they went into contract, or as you call it, the contract. And when they, we were eight companies and we were one of the large companies that were supplying, or large volume companies that we were supplying, and they chose only two companies. Unfortunately, some of the big four also went out of that business. We are trying to reinstate that business, plus get in some of my other business, and that created a bit of a lull in one of the quarters.
Okay. And sir, on the inventories, so in the last 2 years, we've added close to 160, 170 crore of inventories. So is it primarily on account of the implants business? Because what I understood from the previous con calls was, we would require 6 months of inventory for the implants business, which is 50 crore inventory, right? I mean, but why is there such a huge increase in inventory? Are we not able to monetize it, or, I mean,
No, it is not about monetization. Basically, what we are doing is when we said 6 months or 7 months inventory, it's basically on a certain size of a product. But when what you're looking at is, we are dealing with two different countries. One is the US, the other is the Japan, and third is India. So what is happening, the amount of production that is happening has to cater to a lot more sizes. In India, especially, your sizes that are used mainly are 0, 1, and 2, and maybe 3. But when you look at the US, your sizes are used as mainly 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and sometimes 8. So what happens is that your spread of the inventory is growing much bigger than what your original thought process was, that you are focused on, say, two or three or four sizes where you have a six-month inventory, that's fine. But when your spread is going bigger, that's where your amount of inventory goes in. And as I said earlier, the worst possible thing that can happen in orthopedic implant business, that you are not being able to satisfy a customer with a product or a size that he or she needs. And that's what we don't want to get into. And that's the reason our inventory are built up to a certain scale. But having said this, we believe with the ramp up in our sales in this year, we believe a lot of inventory would be streamlined and more standardization will happen in the inventory section.
And last question. So the implants that are supplied to India and the ones that are sold in US, they are both of the same quality, right? I mean, there's no change in the quality, right?
No, absolutely not. We don't even differentiate. We don't even know when we produce whether this is coming from India or going for the US, because the factory that produces is the same factory. The people who produce is the same people. The quality standards that are put are the same quality standards. So, and the package and the boxes that come out are the same things. So we don't even know whether the quality is exactly the same. We don't even differentiate which is happening in India, what is going to Japan, what is going to Argentina, what is going to US.
Got it. So what would be the contribution margin for a product sold, for implants sold in the US vis-a-vis India?
I would not give you the specific numbers, but I could tell you when you look at the pricing in the US is at least 3x than what we sell in India.
Abhay, I request you to please come back in the queue. We'll take the next question from Girish.
Yeah, hi, morning. Thanks for taking my question. This is Girish from Bombay Med. Just on hospital side first, I'm just looking at the numbers. So this quarter, there was good growth. Full year, you've done 10%. This quarter was 20%. I mean, numbers still came a bit lower than what you guided, around 720 crores overall for the full year. Just trying to assess if there is some kind of seasonality element or what is that one we should look at, and if this growth in Q4 is sustainable.
Yeah. Hi, Girish. This is Shanai. So basically, if you look at, this quarter, we have grown at about roughly between 18% to 20%. And the way I would look at it is, you know, when I look at when you commented on the growth for the full year at about 11%, I would see it slightly differently. I would break it up because in FY22, the first quarter was affected by COVID, where we had a lot of COVID revenues. So if you look at quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four of FY22, we averaged at about 150 crores a quarter, right? And in the first quarter, we did about 200 crores because of COVID. So if I take out that 50 to 60 crores, from FY22, I'm looking at about 610 crores for the year FY22 in the hospital business, and then FY23 we have done a little over 725 odd crores. So we are talking of a 20% growth in the hospital business in this year. So I think we are quite satisfied with the performance, and at the same time, because of a strike in Jaipur, which affected not only us but all the corporate hospitals in the city and all the other hospitals in the city, we got affected by 15 days in this particular quarter, and that has affected another 5 to 7 odd crores of revenue. So otherwise, we are basically in line, Girish, as I see it, for the hospital's business.
And Janay, when you look at the numbers, like patient, inpatient count, and I mean, I'm trying to see ex daycare here. So would that number also be growing at 20%? I mean, I don't have the exact detail there. What is the ex daycare?
Absolutely. So let me tell you that, you know, the surgery count has grown by a little over 30% for this year, right? And if you look at the daycare count, we have grown by almost 25% for the year, right? And the inpatient count has grown by about 17%. And that is, again, partially affected by, you know, the high, very high occupancy during the quarter one of FY22, which was affected by COVID. So overall, yes, there is a 20% kind of growth across most parameters.
And what would, let's say, be a full year occupancy according to you next year? I mean,
see, if you are asking me what are going to be the biggest growth drivers for next year, I would say the biggest growth drivers for us would be the Naroda and Mohali unit, where, you know, there is a lot of upside that we have. And yes, the other bunch of hospitals will continue to grow at 15%. So, you know, you will see that extra pop coming in from Naroda and Surat, Naroda and Mohali.
Okay. But you're saying that this 20% growth, of course, is very possible next year also, right? From the top line perspective.
Yeah. So, you know, we have demonstrated that in this year. So we are confident that we will be able to deliver anywhere between 15 to 20% next year as well.
And what would margins look like broadly? I mean, assuming, of course, implant business performs better incrementally.
So you're talking of the consolidated margins?
Consolidated margins, yeah.
So consolidated margins, see, the way we are projecting the hospitals business, we believe it will grow at 15 to 20% and there will be a margin expansion because operating leverage will come into play. And for the implant business, yes, we are projecting a higher single digit, lower teen kind of EBITDA margin for the year as well, with a very high growth compared to FY23.
And just last one, this SOC number, I know you're adding more cities there still, but yeah. Does it eventually translate into higher occupancy in your network, or is it just the more the management fee component that comes through?
Yeah, so I think Parag will take the question on the SOC, but yes, it has a lot of ripple effect on our main hospitals as well. We get a lot of drainage, but how the SOC business will play out, I think Parag will be able to take you through that.
So to your question that, you know, does it have an impact on the existing hospital business? Yes, as Shaneer said, there is a lot of, you know, ripple effect which comes through once you have a permanent hospital in a particular town. There are people who are still willing to come to Ahmedabad, come to Jaipur, come to Indore for their surgery. At the same time, we have people who are willing to get operated in the city and they are not willing to move, and that's the entire logic behind SOC, and we continue to, you know, move upwards in terms of our number of surgeries which we perform.
Okay, thank you for that answer.
Thank you, Girish. We'll take the next question from Manish. Manish, please go ahead.
Manish,
I have no question. I'll clear all things.
Okay, thank you, Manish. Vishal, please go ahead. We can take the next question from you.
Yeah, hi. So if I heard correctly, we manufactured 40,000 implants in this.
Vishal, if you don't mind, can you please introduce yourself first?
Yeah, I am an individual investor.
Okay.
And been for a long time, yeah. So I heard correctly that we manufactured implants for 40,000 in this FY, yet the investor presentation says that we sold roughly 10,000. So my first question is, could you please give me some understanding on why our sold units look low? And second is, could you please give some color to our sales efforts in US? And what would be the margins on implants in Indonesia and the upcoming geographies? Thank you.
All right, Vishal, thanks for the question. When you look at the implants sold versus the components manufactured, when I said 45,000 plus parts manufactured, which means 45,000 components of the hip knee parts that have been manufactured. When we say 9,700 plus implants being sold, each implant consists of four components usually. For a knee, it's the tibial base plate, a femur, a tibial insert, and a patella. For a hip, it is a metal head, the metal stem, and the acetabular liner, and the acetabular cup. So that's where I think you are getting the difference in terms of the implant sold versus the components manufactured. To your second question, in terms of your US sales efforts, what we have done is we have done a segmentation strategy of our customers where we are looking at three ways. One is how could the present customer that we inherited when we took this company, how we could increase the market share of those customers, because those customers that we inherited are not 100% of our Shalvi implant users. Some use 20%, some use 30%, some use 60%. So that's one of the ways we are looking at it. The second way is we are looking at it, who are the customers that we lost over the last 4 or 5 years period? We are connecting with all of them, and we are telling them that with the new initiative and the new strategy at the new company that has come up, we would be ready to service. And we are obviously getting some resistance because they have had some bad experience with the previous company. But it's all about persistence and how much we can talk and demonstrate. The third thing that we are doing is in terms of getting new customers. We are looking at new opportunities, new customers. And for that, to do that, we are hiring 3 new regional sales directors in 3 different areas or regions of US where we do not have currently presence with. And the last one that we are doing is we are launching new products. Our TUX, or the Tahoe Unicompartmental Knee System, we believe, and many surgeons who have used believe, is one of the best in the world. So we are manufacturing instruments. All the instruments are still not in hand. We have given it to an external vendor who manufactures those instruments, which we will be able to get in sometime around July timeframe, where we'll be able to then go full commercial launch in the US. We are having a pipeline of very exciting new products, including a total knee that will be able to launch towards close towards the end of this year. That would also bring in a lot of impetus. We are looking at portfolio expansion of the current knee, which 4 or 5 extra different sizes. That would also help us to gain traction in the US market. To your question on Indonesia versus the US, where we are, the prices, as I said, in US are 3 times more than India. In Indonesia, the prices are around 1.2 times more than where the India market is. So we have to play the markets where the prices are predetermined. And Indonesia is a market that has slightly better margins than what we'll get in India. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from Janardan. I think there's a problem with this audio. Divya, do you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, I have a question. Hello, sir. As you know, I am Divya Daga from Vijit Global Securities. And my next question is, can you provide us the percentage of revenue we are giving to franchisee in FOSM model and the percentage we are receiving in FOSM model? And how company recognize revenue from associate model? Do we include it in sales or other income?
Hi, Divya. This is Parag here. For the exact percentages depend on the kind of investment the franchisee makes in both the models, because this is a satellite model. There's a difference in the investments made in terms of land, building, furniture, fixtures, equipment. It ranges, both sides, it ranges anywhere between 4 to 7%. When we share the revenue or when we get the revenue share from our franchise. In terms of revenue recognition for our operated models, these are our own units. We operate them as our own units. Therefore, the entire revenue as well as the bottom line comes into the, as a regular hospital. When for the foursome units, we recognize only the franchisee revenue which we receive in our books. While we track the revenue very closely with our franchisees, we are work with them in increasing their revenue so as to increase our revenue. But in our books, we recognize only the franchisee revenue.
Okay. And what about student enrollment fee? Do we include in revenue or other income?
Both the FOSO and FOSM model, the contribution what we have, that is getting included into the revenue, not into the other income.
Amit, about the there is a follow-up question on the student revenue from the academy.
Academy students is getting included into the other income.
Other income. Okay. Can I ask more questions?
Divya, we have a few more questions. So is it okay if you come back in queue? Thank you so much. Hitin, you can please go ahead and ask your question.
Hello. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, Hitin. Yes, Hitin.
Yeah. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity, sir. So most of my questions have been answered. I have only one question left, that is regarding to margins. So when we have the margins after excluding the other income, it came at 13%, which was around 17% last quarter and around 15% YOY. And I think the margin has shrunk because of the higher employee cost, which has gone up to 21% from 18% QOQ. So can you throw some light on this? So why is the employee cost gone up in this quarter and what would be a sustainable margin? Hello.
There is two things. First thing is, one is the normal increments, what we have given to employees in line with the inflation index. Another thing, as our implant business is growing up, there are certain additional costs in terms of the manpower for our implant business, which we have infused in this year.
Okay. So what will be a sustainable margin this year, the blended margin I'm talking about? Will it remain around 17%? And the employee cost which has come, is it sustainable for next few quarters also? Is this the base revenue employee cost now?
So you are talking for standalone or consolidated?
So I'm talking on console level, sir.
Yeah, so console level, again, for the standalone, we are going to sustain our margin, which has already been sounded by Mr. Sane. In terms of the implant, we have infused a lot of manpower cost in current year, and we are seeing the sustainable inflation cost into the next year for our implant business, and maybe some more addition. So it will not be in line with the current year, whatever the increase what we are seeing into the employee cost, that will be in terms of percentage, that will be continue with the normal inflation index into the next year.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, the margin, this is Shamay again, you will see that there will be a margin expansion because as Shobhan Das Gupta just said, you know, we are looking at a higher single digit kind of EBITDA margin for the implant business. And, you know, if we are going to grow at between 15 to 20% for the hospital's business, there will be a margin expansion there. So at a console level, you can expect close to 20% kind of EBITDA margins for the year.
Okay. So when you say 20%, you also include other income in that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Hitin. We'll take the next question from Bhagwat Nayak. Just a reminder. Participants, request you to please introduce yourself before asking the question.
Hey, good morning. This is Bhagwat from Prosperity Wealth Management. Could you please update about the implant business segment in terms of the key strategy to compete with the other established players in the US, as they have already built their brand, which is crucial for the business, I believe, and the size of the industry?
Yeah, so I think in your question, you said that has a lot of answer and meaning to it. And I worked in one of the large companies, as you know, and I was a part of the global management board for Johnson & Johnson. So one of the things that happens is sometimes when you look at these companies, most of the businesses that they get in from large volume customers. So they do not really take care of certain customers who are, in their minds, larger or smaller players or smaller volumes. Whereas those small volume surgeons feel very neglected because in the recent past, they were catered to by these bigger companies. So the service levels come down and they feel very disenchanted. So these are the target customers. When I talked about the segmentation, when I said new customers, these are the new customers that we are looking who are disenchanted with the service levels of the big four, and they would like to come into the companies that would be able to service. So we have been going into two or three strategies with them. One is obviously, as I said, increasing our sales footprint through appointment of the regional sales directors and the distributors. The second is to introduce new products to them. And thirdly, being able to take across them to several of our key opinion leaders who are using our products. So in orthopedics, one of the ways of strategy to convert a customer is to give them the hands-on feeling of coming into a surgery and observing the product perform live in a patient. So what we are doing, we have created centers of excellence with certain KOLs in our countries, in the US especially, and also in India, where we would be getting surgeons who are interested to see how our products perform in a live case. And when they see seeing is believing, they'll be able to go back and use our cases. So that's where we are focusing. Having said this, we are also looking at getting shares not only from these large four-sec players, but also from the mid-segments as well. If you look at it, there are almost 25 or 30 companies who play in the mid-segment in the US. And we are also targeting these companies because these companies either have a gap in their portfolio or they have product-related recall issues. And one of the things of key unique value proposition of this company that we have now acquired, which is Consensus. This, and I think you know about it, 28 years in the US and in other parts of the world, zero product recall from FDA. And if you go and Google and do a Google search for any company in the world which sells implants, you'll see almost all, if not all, will have product recalls being initiated by FDA. And we pride on the fact that we do not have a product recall. And that's a huge unique selling value proposition, because I know at least two customers in the US who use our product simply because we have zero product recalls. And that gives them the testimony that we are a quality company.
Yes, sir. Thanks for your answer, sir. Just a bit some color on the size of the industry and what would be the top line and margin guidance for FY24 for this segment particularly.
Yes, the size of the industry is $18 billion. Out of the $18 billion, $8 billion is in the US, and the $10 billion is outside of the US. And when you look at from a volume perspective, though, that it's a 60-40 split, where 60% is outside of the US and 40% is in the US, because the US ASPs are higher. What was your second question? Sorry, I didn't follow.
So it's about the top line and margin guidance for the segment for the next year.
So basically, we are providing a range. And when we look at the range, we are trying to grow almost around 60 to 70% of where we currently landed this year. So that's where the range that we are looking at. The guidance, as I think from a top bottom line perspective, as you said, we are measuring ourselves on EBITDA, and we would like to get into single high digit percentage for EBITDA for the end of this year.
Single high digit and top line, sir, you were saying 60%. Is that correct?
Yes, around 50 to 70%. So I'm giving you a range between 50 to 70% of growth versus what we did this year.
Okay, thanks very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Surya. Surya, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just just a couple of clarifications. So if you can share even more on this implant business. So what is the like-to-like volume growth that you would have seen in FY23, sir? And also, if you can share, what is the current utilization that you have reached in FY23?
So if you look at from a volume growth perspective, the volume growth has been much higher. I think I would fall back on finance because I don't have the answer offhand, but I can tell you the reason why. I'll tell.
Yeah.
Is in FY 2022, our sales entirely came out from US and a bit from Japan. We didn't have any India business at that time. In FY23, of the $11.7 million that you see, as I said, 60% came from the US and 40% came from India. So if you calculate that, out of the $11.7 million, almost close to $6.9 million came from the US and $4.7 million came from India. And because the India ASPs or the selling prices are much, much lower than the US, and last year there was no India selling prices or India sales, obviously then your volumes of FY23 is much more than three times. So if I said our sales was 3x in terms of dollars, the volume could be 5x, but I do not have the right exact answer. But it definitely will be much, much higher than 3x because we sold much more in India, or rather we sold in India in 23 versus zero sales in 22 for India.
Okay. This is helpful, sir. And about the utilization of the capacity, and also what is it possible to say what is the kind of a progression that we are witnessing in terms of captive uses of our implants?
Progress on what? On
the utilization of the capacity, that is one. Yes. And the second point that I talked about is what is the captive usage that we have seen for the implants in India?
Okay, so when you say captive usage, means internal usage, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when you look at the first, I'll go at the consumption, the capacity utilization. We see our plant right at this moment, with the plus minus put together, we see that the this plant can manufacture at around between 70,000 to 80,000 components in a year. Okay. Again, I wanted to remind you, there's a difference between implants and components.
Yeah, I got that.
So 80,000, we can 70,000 to 80,000, and if you see, we manufactured close to 50,000 components in this year. So if you do the math, you'll be realizing we were around 60% to 65% capacity utilization. Now we do have space in our factory. In El Dorado Hills in California, we have a 10,000 square feet, which we have kept it so that we can use it for the future. And that would be used, obviously, to get in some more machines that we are looking to automate going forward. We are still in the thinking process. We have still not gone into details of which machines will be coming in. And that's the reason when a gentleman asked the question about what would be the CapEx, I could not answer it in so discrete terms because we're still not decided. But we have an area that we could use. We could even use it to get our warehouse much more streamlined going forward. That will be much less capex. So to your point, we are at 60 to 65% capacity utilization. And from a captive standpoint right now, our strategy in India was very clear. If we have to sell it outside of Shalby, we have to first be completely convinced about how we are using it in Shalby. So our objective was to really make it used in Shalby. Right now, what we see is almost 70 to 75% usage is within Shalby and 25% is outside of Shalby. And that has been intentional because we wanted to first be very confident about the usage in Shalby. And I can tell you right now is that the Shalby surgeons who have used our products and are continuing to use our products are exceptionally happy about it. And that's the reason that has given us confidence to go now to the outside world, outside of Shalby, to be able to. So to your answer question directly, it's 75 to 80% is captive and the rest 20% is outside of Shalby, which will change this year as well as in the coming years.
Sure, sir. So I think this is interesting to know that, okay, this is a kind of a brand building in-house and then obviously building it for the world. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to, just a last question, sir. I wanted to check and understand what is the scope of a price play, let's say, in the existing market and beyond existing market, what we are thinking, and also the scope of brand buildup also.
So when you look at the scope of price, if you look at the business that we operate in India, and I'll go into two segments. Like the price elasticity is very different in India versus the US, right? Now, correct. US already, when you look at, there is almost very little opportunities to increase prices because the prices are already at a very high level. And you can understand the healthcare systems are a lot of pressurizing. So there's a lot of central purchasing groups coming in. So we do not believe that we'll get price increases in the US. But having said this, our profitability in the US will continue to rise because we'll change the mix. What we are doing is we are looking at the product mix and we are trying to sell. We talked about the Tux, the Tahoe Unicorn Mountaineer system. That has better GPs or better gross margins or gross profitability, as we call it. So when we sell more of Tux and that increases the ratio of our sales, that brings in better margins, though we cannot increase our prices. Whereas in India, almost 60% of the business is knee, 65% of the business is knees, and 35% of other business is hips. And we expect that next year, again, in September, the price regulators or the regulators who regulate price in the government may increase it by another 10% because of the cost of inflation, like they increased it last year. The industry has been working very hard with it, and the association is working very hard with it. If the 10% comes in, that benefits us because India is one of the lowest priced implant companies, implant industries in the world. But because of volumes, many companies are being able to supply. So 10% increase will come up, we believe, in India from a price standpoint. And again, the price mix, the product mix that I talked about will also be applicable in India. And we will be selling more Tux in India, which will help us to also develop our margins.
Sure, sir. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for clarifying all that.
Thanks for your question.
Thank you, Surya. We'll take the next question from Rakesh Parekh. Rakesh, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, Rakesh Parekh, fund manager from Rockstar Capital, LLP. My question is to Subhansh Das Gupta. First is that we are on our utilization, we are around 55% capacity utilization in the implant business. So when do we see a PAT break-even level for this business now?
I think we answered the question on this, and the question that I and the question was asked, and I the way I answered is basically we'll be doing EBITDA single digit positive at this fiscal year end, and we are trying all our efforts to be able to be operation expenses neutral and be self sufficient in SAT in this year itself. That's our plan.
Thanks. Secondly, if I look at it, means we are at 50% utilization levels as such. And let's assume we can hypothetically go to 80-85% utilization levels. So what kind of ROE this business can generate over the next 2 or 3 years?
Say that RO what? ROC?
ROC, yeah. Return on capital employed.
So basically the objective, I understood now. So basically you're asking on the return on capital employed. We expect this return on capital employed to be coming at around 15%.
Around 15.
That's the potential and the possibility that we see over the coming years.
Okay, that helps. Second on the SOC model, what was the revenue for the Q4? I understand it will be nominal. And what are our plans for next 2 or 3 years based on our initial implementation?
Amit, you have the Q4 numbers? Because I'm tracking the number of surgeries given the initial stages of the business.
Yeah, so just give me a second. So for FY23, it is close to around 4.5 CR. And for the quarter, it is 1.5 CR.
Okay, that helps. And directionally, how do you see this business shaping up now?
So directionally, we see a number of surgeries improving as we enter the new quarter. And as there are two new units in Gwalior and Lucknow, they take shape, and the two older units in Ahmedabad and Udaipur also, enter up and mature up a little bit more. We see the revenue only moving up for the existing four units. And as we add more units, we move forward quarter on quarter, we see a healthy revenue growth on the business. The exact numbers I'm not putting through because each unit will add up and very, very nascent time where the units will grow up quarter on quarter. The exact number guidance is something which is difficult at this stage. As I said, I'm tracking more on the number of surgeries which are done, and that gives me a confidence on the business growing in the newer units.
How many SOC centers do we plan to open this year?
This year, we have plans to add anywhere between 8 to 10 centers operationalize them by the end of the year.
Okay, thanks. My last question is on the overall hospital business. If I look at our ROC on a console basis, 13.2, and on hospital, the presentation suggests it is around 16% level. Understand the drag will be largely from the implant business. So directionally, how do we see this shaping up going forward? If you can have your thoughts on for next 2 or 3 years, I said.
Sure. So, as I said earlier, we are expecting a growth similar to how we have grown, in the past. And based on that, we will see the ROCs go up because, the incremental capital employed, in terms of the replacement capex will be a very nominal amount. On an average, we spend about 20 to 25 crores in a year, and the incremental EBITDA will be far superior than that. So there will definitely be an expansion. And, as we see, we can definitely do between 20 and 25% over the next 2 to 3 years as the occupancies goes up and the revenues rise.
Yeah, thanks. That's it for my side.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Divya. Divya, please go ahead. Divya, you're on mute. Would you like to go ahead and ask your follow-up question?
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. We are expecting Nashik Hospital in this year. Can you give me the quarter in when it will be get operationalized?
So Parag, do you want to take that?
We are right now working with the franchisee for completion and handover of the premises so that we can start the fit outs and work on the other parts to operationalize. So we do look at somewhere towards quarter four only where if we will be able to operationalize this. We are still awaiting the handover. There are certain delays at the end of the franchisee, the builder who's doing the property for us.
Okay. As I saw few numbers like ARPOB and surgery count on QOQ basis has fallen. Can we expect this trend to reverse in next quarter?
See, the ARPOBs are a function of the speciality mix. So if you look at our ARPOBs for the year, they have grown, and that is also because the arthroplasty business has grown significantly. So we have grown almost 30 to 35% in terms of the arthroplasty surgeries. So yes, ARPOB will be a function of that, but we do believe that the specialty mix will remain the way it has been, and which is why we see that the ARPOB will remain flat or grow at between 3 to 5% over the next year.
Okay. I have just one more question. in every hospital, we can see that there is a pharmacy. So do you outsource it from third party or is it our own? And what is the overall contribution from that part?
So in general, all our pharmacies are operated by us. They are all in-house, whether it is the inpatient pharmacy or whether it is the outpatient pharmacy. On an average, on the outpatient pharmacy business, we do between 15 to 18 crores of revenue per annum. And of course, the inpatient pharmacy is something that we are not, you know, kind of disclosing as a breakup of the total IP revenue.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Divya. The next question is from Vishal. Vishal, please go ahead.
Yeah, I thank Mr. Sushoban for answering my previous question so well. And I request him to please help me understand how many contracts did we got from that implant business ours and how many of them we lost. And the second question is that how long is a usual contract? And what is our average contract duration? Yeah, was that audible?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
I said we lost only one contract.
Your voice is very bleak, sir.
Give me a second. Let me take the...
sir, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm saying that we lost one contract only in the Midwestern states, as I said earlier. And we have not lost any contracts. We have won a couple of contracts as of now. And we actually expect that the contract that we have lost, though it's a centralized contract, but it also has several hospitals within that contract, which has a capacity of buying local purchases as well to a certain amount, which would actually help us to mitigate some of the losses that we had. So that's the question on the contract. What was your second question? I'm sorry.
That how long a usual contract looks like and what is our average contract length?
Most of the contracts are annual, but certain contracts go for 3 years. The contract that we lost is an annual contract and we lost it sometime towards the third quarter of the last fiscal year.
All right, all my questions are answered. Thank you. Hope we win back next year. Good day.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. We have to. Thank you.
Thanks, Vishal. Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from Abhay. Abhay, please go ahead.
Yeah. So on the implants business, you've mentioned that we've utilized close to 65% capacity, right? And we produced close to 55,000 components and we sold close to 45,000 components. Is that understanding right?
Yeah, around 47,000. Yeah, 47,000 components. That's 47
right. Would mean 12,000 implants?
No, 47 components, 1,000 components, which you've divided by four.
Yeah.
On an average will be around 10,000 plus. Yeah.
12,000, right? So
yeah.
So at 12,000, we're able to achieve close to 93 crore revenue. So we're looking at 100% capacity utilization, we're looking at 150, 160 crore of revenue, right? From the implants business.
Yeah, first of all.
And considering the realizations.
I need to correct you here.
Yeah.
Very few industries can do 100% capacity utilization. Especially in orthopedics, you cannot. Because if you look at the machine, you have to keep some machines idle so that you ensure that you do not get into a problem of 100% capacity. Because if you look at the sequence of the machine that it runs, the mills and the lathes and many other things run in a simultaneous manner. And some of the mills and the lathes, you cannot use a plastic in a metal and a metal in a plastic, because they're very exclusive. Because if you'd use that, this causes contamination that will injure the patient. So this is something that we all need to know, that in orthopedic implant business, you cannot have 100% capacity utilization. The maximum that you could do, and this is my understanding, would not be beyond 80 to 85% capacity utilization that you could go. So I just wanted to correct you this before I could answer the question.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, so we are looking at a revenue of let's say 130, 140 crore with let's say 85% capacity utilization, right?
I mean, correct.
Okay, and the realizations also would drop a bit because we are entering Indonesia where we are 1.2x India, which is I think the average realization would also drop, right? So and in terms of the costs in the P&L, since this year was Mr. Amit told that there are a lot of recruitments in Q4 this year. So in terms of other fixed costs, how much would that be on a year-on-year basis? I mean,
yeah. So if you look at the recruitment, we do not envisage that we will have too many recruitments. So obviously the ratio of sales to recruitment would be much higher in this year versus the previous year. That means the recruitment as a percentage of sales will be lower this year versus the previous year. And the reason being is when I said our recruitment will be mainly focused on the sales aspect of the business, especially in the US and in parts of some of the other areas, including India, where we need to put in our sales organization. But you look at the other areas, the reason of the recruitment that happened was we had to include a lot more finishers in the operation area. We had to recruit a quality and regulatory director in our organization. So all this actually increased. So now the functional areas, that is the support area of the business, we have the full team. So we don't need to recruit for this year. We have already recruited for last year. But this year, the recruitment will happen is in the sales area, which will have a direct impact on the revenue line or on your top line. And that would help us to keep the margins or increase the margins going forward.
Okay, understood. And sir, in terms of incremental CapEx, you told us that you would not be able to readily estimate a number, but is my understanding correct when I say that there would be certain processes or certain machineries which would have a bottleneck capacity and maybe to the incremental capex would not be the same as what we have already installed, the amount that we, the outgo in terms of incremental capex?
Yeah, so when I said about the incremental capex, you look at the two, three areas that you really put in your capex, right? So one, as I said, in orthopedic implants, one is your machinery, plant and equipment, right? The big capex comes in. The second is your infrastructure, which includes buildings and some of the other aspects where you put in your capex. And that also includes a bit of maintenance. And the third one is your instrumentation. So when I look at for this year, which is this fiscal year, our main capex investments will be on the instrumentation area, because the way we are trying to expand in countries like Indonesia, in countries, we, as I said, Latin America, we also plan to get into Malaysia in the near future, plus in the certain regions of India, as well as in the US, we would require to buy a lot of instruments from the outside vendor. So our capex, we are still in the process of calculating. Because when we are looking at, as I said, because your turnaround of instrumentation is very different in the US versus in Indonesia and in India. We're still in the process of calculating how much will be the capex on the instrumentation side. From the machinery side or from the plant and equipment side, we do not envisage to be too much of increase. Say, for example, we have a x-ray templating machine, which needs to be replaced. That's around $50,000-$60,000 of replacement. So that's not very much of a replenishment that we see. Our machines that we currently have are in great condition. The big investment may come, and we've still, as I said, we've still not envisaged, and we're still in a strategic plan if you want to automate our plant. So our plant today is not having the fully automated capability. If I have to automate the plant, that's a huge amount of capex expenditure, which we do not have right now the plans to do it. Because the way the machines are functioning and with the idle capacity that we have said, because of 80-85% capacity utilization, we'd be able to manage the strategic plan numbers that we had put forward over the next 5 years.
Okay, got it.
Abhay, sorry to interrupt. Due to time constraint, we'll have to take the next question. Thank you. Surya, please go ahead. We'll take your question.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So just one simple clarification I wanted to have. In the standalone cash flows, what I am seeing that there is a kind of investment of 100 crore that we have done in our subsidiary. Can you just say what is the nature of the investment? And that's the question.
So that investment we've done into the mass, and this is in the nature of preference share, redeemable preference share.
Yes.
Oh, okay, and that is for, sir? Oh.
Pardon?
Further infusion.
That is
for the what?
So mass is going to invest into the SAT for our implant business.
Acha, okay. So this is for any capacity buildup, debottlenecking, yeah, or anything, because we are kind of still in the process of deciding our next budget.
Yeah. No, this is more to meet the requirement of the working capital towards the inventory buildup.
So, Surya, I will add to this. Basically, a large part of it is to pay back the existing loan facility that we have. And a small part of it is, is going to be part of the working capital requirement for the company.
Oh, okay. Possibly because of expansion in the volumes that we are witnessing, the working capital need also would be higher.
Yeah, the working capital need is there. But as I said, a majority of it was used to pay back an existing loan that we had.
Okay, sure. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Since we have no more questions, I hand over the call to the management for closing comments.
On behalf of the management, I would like to thank each one of you to attend our earnings call. Thanks for the engagement. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Puneet. Thank you to the management and all the participants who joined in. Have a good day. Thank you.